example that here in the United States, one of the major political parties is still essentially denying climate change. That's the Republicans, of course, and Donald Trump, who has pledged to drill, baby, drill from the first day back if he were to be returned to the White House. It's not our job as journalists to censor ourselves because one party or one candidate decides that they're going to deny climate science. We owe it to the public to report that to the public without fear or favor.
And I wanted to ask you, Mark, in terms of how the Democratic Party has been handling the issue of climate change during this election season, because there couldn't be a more stark difference between the two candidates in terms of climate science, at least in terms of their acknowledgement of the crisis that we're facing. Right. But is the Democratic Party really pushing forth as strongly as it could on this issue?
You know, Juan, I think it's hard to know. I because so much of what we in the public hear about from the Democratic Party or from the White House is filtered again through the prism of the news media. And for example, the Inflation Reduction Act, certainly the biggest climate legislation ever passed, probably in the world, certainly here in the United States, and passed, by the way, by a Democratic president through a Congress that is still has a lot of Republican control in it. The White House has been very frustrated that the general public does not know about that. And the White House has tried and tried, it says, to put Biden on the road to talk about this. And it's not getting the kind of press coverage that at least I would have expected. So I think that you're certainly right that there is a huge contrast between a Democratic and a Republican approach to this. Is Biden's climate record perfect? Far from it. The U.S. is still now the biggest oil and gas producer in the world. You know, he green-lighted the Willow Project, oil project up in Alaska. But he just put a pause on liquid natural gas export facilities across the Gulf Coast. So as voters, I think it's very important for people who are out there as citizens to remember that, to quote my colleague Rebecca Solnit, when you're thinking about your vote is not a Valentine, with all due respect to Valentine's tomorrow. Your vote's not a Valentine. It's a chess move. You don't have to approve of everything a certain candidate does in order to say, I'm still going to vote. If you care about climate, vote. If you care about fairness, vote. If you care about peace, vote.
This week, Congressmember Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez marked the five-year anniversary of the introduction of the Green New Deal.
We are going to go, and we have to go to every single frontline community and ensure that they are not left behind. We're going to create millions of unionized jobs across the United States of America. We are going to revamp our transmission lines, install solar, commit to geothermal, and we are going to transition this country to clean and renewable energy and create a sustainable working class in the process of doing it.
Mark Hertzgard, we just have 30 seconds, but again, that's AOC celebrating now 5 years since Green New Deal was introduced.
And that Green New Deal is what gave us the Inflation Reduction Act, somewhat trimmed down from the original vision of the Green New Deal, but that's where, again, elections are important. AOC ran, took on a moderate Democrat who everybody said was unbeatable. She beat him and injected all of this new energy and great ideas into the American political discourse, like the Green New Deal. And I think that's exactly why we in the press have to be paying much more attention to the climate issue here in 2024.
As the Northeast is shut down by what is expected to be a monster storm. It just recently started snowing here in the city. The schools are closed from here to Boston. Mark Hertzgard, Executive Director of Covering Climate Now, will link to your new article in The Nation. It's the 2024 election season. Where's the climate story? And thanks so much to Michael Mann, Professor of Earth and Environmental Science at University of Pennsylvania, just awarded $1 million in a defamation lawsuit. Happy birthday to Brendan Allen. I'm Amy Goodman with Juan Gonzalez.
88.3 FM, Pittsburgh. My name's Anthony Cacciato, and you're listening to The Angry Young Man. Now, what is The Angry Young Man, you may ask? Well, I'm The Angry Young Man, Anthony Cacciato, here to talk with you guys about some things to be angry about. Or, you know, what can we do about those things that we're angry about? Now, the world is an angry place, in the wise words of Heath Ledger's Joker. But, you know, it's there's kind of a rationale behind heading this whole thing up. You know, there's not a lot of public affairs talk on WRCT, kind of talking about what's going on. What are people talking about, or what are people not talking about? You know, that's a big issue, I find. That's, you know, that when we have a lot of issues in the world, you can't really solve them by complaining about them. You know, you can complain about them all you want and be angry about them. You can be an angry young man or woman or angry person, but it doesn't do you any good unless you kind of dig into what's going on and talk about it. So, you know, that's kind of what I'm hoping to do here. You know, throughout this next couple of weeks, we're going to have some guests coming in to talk about the issues, niche, front page, whatever have you, whatever you guys want to hear more so is the thing too, because, you know, what's a public affairs show if it's not talking about the affairs of the public, and specifically around here? So, you know, that's another thing. I implore you members of the community to reach out to us over here at WRCT, just to say what you want to hear us talk about, you know, what we should probably kind of discuss as the issues of the community, be it the university, be it Pittsburgh, or the nation on the whole. And I do want to remind you that our phone number that you can call us at, unfortunately, we can't patch through calls right now. That's a big regret of mine, because eventually, once we're able to do that, love to have you guys on to talk. But that's going to be 412-268-9728. After the show at 12 o'clock, you know, if you'd like to call in, you know, give your 2 cents, I'd be more than happy to talk to you. But for the time being, unfortunately, can't call you in, but we'll try to incorporate whatever we hear, you know, into our future programming, at least for this show. Do want to be very clear at the outset. This, whatever is being spoken on this show, is not representative of WRCT on the whole, but rather my, Anthony Cacciato's, personal opinions, thoughts, ravings and ramblings of an angry young man here. I mean, kind of going into the meat of it now, you know, it's just me today. Just kind of what, why be angry? You know, what, sure, you know, have a show about being an angry young man, but why are you angry? Depends on who you ask. There's definitely, I'm sure you could think about different ways that, I'm having some mic trouble here, sorry. Just a moment. There we go. Sorted. Sorry about that. You know, why be angry? Well, again, depends on who you ask. If you ask me, there's a couple things you can be angry about. I mean, look at the state of government. I don't think many people would call the current state of government functional, say the least, or it highly functional. I mean, look at where our debt is at. We're in the billions, well beyond the billion mark. You know, you look at what we're willing to spend here and there, and you have people that are still financially struggling as a result of COVID-19 pandemic, you know, labor shortage. You have small businesses that are just kind of eking by if they were lucky enough to make it past the pandemic. I mean, I could think of so many businesses between Pittsburgh and where I'm from in New York that weren't able to kind of hold down the fort through the tide, and, you know, it got swept away, and it's sad. And a lot of these backbone of the community mom and pop shops that just couldn't. It's genuinely something to me that it concerns me that, you know, in the midst of all this, you know, we have such ridiculous spending that comes from taxpayer money, and a lot of this from these small businesses, people who run them, the businesses themselves, the people who work in them. And it's this juxtaposition between, you know, this ridiculous amount of waste, too. I mean, for those of you who haven't kind of heard this before, you know, on an annual budget, you have a lot of these different federal agencies that, you know, they'll want to get either maintained or increased funding. So we'll take, for example, armed forces. You'll have, you know, 2 days out from the end of the fiscal year, these people just firing off all their spare ammunition, or offices that throw old TVs out, well, new TVs out, they got from the last round of funding so that they can argue they need more. You know, there's just so much, like, in the minutia that gets lost, you know, like a couple dollars here and there that nobody really bats an eye at. Because let's be frank, nobody has the time to bat an eye at it. You know, you go back to, you know, these people that are running small businesses or working paycheck to paycheck. You don't have time to look into this. You don't have time to go see, you know, the government threw $50,000 here to testing whether or not the sky is blue. And like, it's not that stupid, but it gets very close to that level of stupidity. There are some weird things that the government puts money towards. I mean, Rand Paul, for example, Senator Rand Paul from Kentucky, puts together these waste reports where he kind of looks into, like, what has the government been spending on that, quite frankly, is ridiculous. And this stuff adds up. You know, you get millions and millions of dollars of allocated money that, quite frankly, could either be put towards better uses of government or even just, like, keeping that in your own pocket, you know, the taxpayer pockets. That's kind of the thing that, you know, comes to the other end of the juxtaposition. You have people that are struggling right now, still struggling. I mean, by some metrics, the economy's doing all right. But by other metrics, you look at how people are handling right now, people are not doing all right. it's a shame to see that, you know, you have such waste while at the same time you have people that genuinely could use that extra $200, $300 a month. I mean, so that's one thing you could be angry about. I mean, speaking on the topic of waste, you could also be angry about how much money we spend abroad while people are struggling in the United States. The amount of money that we send out to our alliance partners, to different countries for foreign aid, you know, like, and that's not to decry the purpose of foreign aid. It's more so to talk about the fact that, you know, yes, you can have a passion for helping people abroad, but when it comes to federal money that you're getting from taxpayers, ultimately that money needs to be invested in the people. You know, that's what you have that for. You know, not to invest abroad. These aren't American citizens. You know, you may have American citizens abroad, but the lion's share of these people that are receiving foreign aid, they're not American citizens. They're not American taxpayers. That's a concern of mine, that, you know, you have that going on. You know, I think it's fully reasonable to say, you know, if you have the means to do so and you feel passionate about giving money, let's say, to Red Cross aid in Ukraine, for example, go for it. You know, like, I've given money to NGOs or nonprofits that are operating in these regions because, I mean, like, you know, you have a passion for helping people out. Go for it. That's a great thing. That's virtuous. That's amazing. But when you take taxpayer money to do it, that just involves a whole nother dimension that when people are struggling, you can't do that. And I mean, let's even get local with this one. You know, within Allegheny County, and specifically, this is hard hitting for the city of Pittsburgh. And I bring this up, you know, because it affects a lot of people, and inclusive of that, college students. That's a big thing that, you know, at least I think is important to bring up as a college radio station, talking about how this particularly impacts college students too. The property reassessments that the current Sarah Namorado County Executive Administration is proposing and looking to go through with, you're going to see a lot of, let's look at it this way. You have the issue of When a property is assessed at a current value, that determines what the property tax on that land is going to be, that property. Reassessment means that you could hypothetically get lucky and have your property reassessed to a lower value, but that's not going to happen likely. What you're probably going to end up seeing is properties getting reassessed specifically in the city of Pittsburgh is a big issue at a higher value. And what ends up happening as a result of that is higher property tax. When you have higher property tax, that's going to, especially in this, you know, it's going to be difficult to be a property owner in the city of Pittsburgh. Now, what you'll also say, because in most urban areas, you have a high volume of renters. What you end up seeing when you have a higher property tax is that tax incidence doesn't usually get absorbed by your landlord. That's something that usually gets passed down and rent increases. So what you're probably going to end up seeing as a result of these things, and you know, something that was definitely spoken about during the election cycle, was that reassessment means not only if you're a property owner, you're going to see increases in how much you're going to be paying. Renters are going to feel that, and renters are going to feel that hard, because a lot of renters in the city of Pittsburgh, not all of them, but a good chunk, and enough so to be enough of a problem to be like, hey, what are we going to do here, is people who are low-income renters or college students who rent, particularly in areas where rent isn't exactly the most affordable, we'll put it that way. You know, that's a huge thing. If you're looking at the potential for there to be increases to rent over the next 2-3 years for college and low-income renters, that has impacts. That, you know, that impacts how people look at whether or not it's worth to stay where you are. People are going to look for the path of least resistance, which is understandable. If you can pay less money, you're going to pay less money. And you don't want to incentivize people to move away from these areas that you want to encourage development in. And you know, a lot of those areas are specifically around college campuses, which is a lot of the college renting market over there, for example. You know, like, if you're a city or a county government, you don't want to disincentivize your growth there. That's going to just happen as a result of that. That's kind of one other thing to talk about there. You can go back to the federal and look at, you know, speaking of elections, the presidential candidates. We're lined up for 2020 rematch. And I can think of a couple people I've spoken to, but the lion's share of the American public does not want, let's face it, the two same old white guys running for president. I mean, it's like, the point being is that, like, these guys are old. We're talking about guys that are going to be in their 80s, both of them, in the next couple of years. These are people that have long passed their time to be giving input at that level. And a lot of people feel that way. You know, most people are not enthused for this rematch. I mean, but it's just a function of reacting to each other and two-party politics. It's unfortunate. It is what it is. It isn't what it is. I mean, as much as people kind of look at it and say, like, well, this is what it is. You can always make an impact on that. This is a particularly difficult one, we'll put it that way. I think that, you know, for the time being, we're going to just have to buckle down and see what we have to do. I mean, personally, this is something that usually gets shot down a little bit. It's not the worst thing to consider third-party candidates. That you can go into the whole slew of issues there. And I do want to say, for everything that I have been listing off here, it's kind of a bit of a rattling off, I know, and just kind of complaining. The thing is that, you know, my hope is, within this first program, to kind of outline some major issues that I want to take the time to talk about on this, with this platform, with other people. And, you know, like, that's going to be kind of the major format of this, bringing people on to talk about issues wherever I can. Because let's be, and I'll elaborate a little bit more in the latter half of this, but, you know, there's a lot to be gained from the experiences and positions of people from all over. You know, we have a very narrow view of the opinions and positions and policy solutions that we see to common issues, just because of how the media works. And I mean, in recent years, having social media and platforms like YouTube to share definitely helps kind of widen the breadth of the conversation. But, you know, to get this on public affairs programming, I think, is important, to get people from all over the place, all different positions, all different experiences, to talk about these things. Because let's be frank, a lot of these issues could use a little bit of that. And that's kind of, well, now kind of talking more about, since we are in the latter half, why have this show? You know, like, it's important to sit and talk things out, especially considering the fact that a lot of the culture of current political or policy or issues debate deals with kind of it's not very constructive. We'll put it that way. It's not really aimed at gaining consensus or, you know, looking to find ways to hybridize or collaborate on getting a kind of a solid start to solutions for issues. That's if the issues are talked about in the first place. That's kind of the idea here. You know, why forego the opportunity to get people to come in, look to see where can we find common ground? You know, because you'd be surprised how often you could find common ground with people. It's important to me. You know, as someone who does have a lot of involvement in the community and trying to, you know, specifically in policy issues, it's something that, like I mentioned earlier, we have a stark lack of on WRCT specifically, but also just on the whole, we need these conversations. We need them because that, you know, at the heart of it, what good is democracy if you don't have the opportunity to kind of talk out the solutions and, you know, figure out why do you do this? Not enough people stop and think, why do we do this? Why are we doing what we're doing? Why should we stick to or change what we're doing? Sorry, we're getting a little bit of that mic coming in and out. I don't know exactly what that is, but it's ultimately to have the ability to really sit down, sit back, and think and talk is crucial. It's fundamental because that's how you end up with good discussion, good debate, and ultimately good policy, good laws. You know, a democracy is no good if it's not representative of the discussions and the needs of the people going on, you know, going through the community. That's another thing, definitely, I think that's worth talking about, because that's an area that's not really touched on. We talk a lot about what are our specific policy goals, but there's not a lot of talk about why should government do that? What is the role of government? What is the purpose of government? You know, it's definitely an issue that sits at the heart of all or most policy discussions that we have in modern America. We don't really stop to think why or what is government doing here? Like, why is it doing it? What is it doing here? Should it be doing it? Is this the role of government? Do we need to get government involved to do this? Is this the proper role and function of government? Not a question that's asked too much. Before we do continue, though, I do want to take a quick break just to say, well, if it's a public affairs show, what use is it if it's not going to bring you some public service announcements? I'm going to start off really quick with giving you a little bit of information regarding digital literacy. Are you one of the millions of Americans who are a little afraid of the internet? Do you feel it's just not for you? Or maybe you think it's all too much and just don't know where to begin learning? Did you know that today many companies post job offerings only online and require online applications? Or that over 80% of teachers give homework online? Whether it's finding a job, helping your children complete homework for school, or accessing e-commerce, electronic medical records, and connecting with family and friends, it is vital that every American have the digital literacy skills they need in order to succeed. Call 1-855-EVRY-1ON or visit www.everyoneon.org. Find free internet and computer training classes in your area. Again, that's 1-855-EVRY-1ON or visit www.everyoneon.org. A public service message brought to you by Connect to Compete and WRCT. Also, just letting you know that WRCT is supported by Rita's Italian Ice. Rita's offers a variety of frozen treats, including their Italian Ice, made fresh daily with real fruit, available in over how many flavors? 95 flavors. Rita's has several locations throughout the city of Pittsburgh, including a stand at 3712 Fifth Avenue near the University of Pittsburgh campus. For more information, visit their website at ritasice.com. If you're interested in underwriting for WRCT, you can email pr@wrct.org. for more information about promotional exchanges and other partnership opportunities. And finally, just a heads up about some shows we have here on WRCT. Firstly, everyone thinks to know the 80s hits, but on the other side of the Atlantic lies a treasure trove of synth-drenched sounds that filled the airwaves of Europe back in the day. Take a trip back to the 80s you never knew with DJ Tony Tunes from here to eternity. Mondays at 4 p.m. Also, tune into Kaleidoscope, an eclectic hour of music with your very own DJ Kate. Mondays at 8 p.m. only on WRCT Pittsburgh. Add to the colorful mix by calling in requests. And I'll tell you, it's an eclectic mix. An eclectic, eclectic mix. I can definitely say that. I definitely encourage... Don't encourage, actually. Because you can't say you encourage on the radio. Fun fact. Fun things. Fun lessons about the FCC on FCC airwaves. Public airwaves for public talking about public issues. Not only on WRCT, but right now on WRCT. Anyways, to kind of go away from that aside, some issues, some things that I definitely am going to probably get going in terms of niche stuff planned out for the next couple of weeks. Have a fun little debate conversation planned to talk about the Liberty Movement. Definitely something that doesn't get too much airtime. Talking about, you know, what avenue does the Liberty Movement take in order to succeed in the United States politically. Also talking about environmentalism. That's definitely something I've seen in the past has some bearing on, community issues, something that the community has an extent of interest in. Going to be talking about that in regards to how should the government be addressing that? Should it be more of a, hands-on, get into the mix of it sort of deal, or market environmentalism, seeing how that kind of pans out. Fun times. So that's kind of some of our going forward things that we've got going on. I do again want to reiterate that after this at 12 o'clock, you can call in, give your thoughts, hopes, dreams, expectations, disappointments, prayer requests. I'll take it. I definitely do want to try to get the community in on this. If you have something you think is of interest to speak about, please let me know. That's a very big, important thing, I think, at the end of the day, to have very tangible and real community input on that. Fun thing I did want to mention, by the way, this is actually, I probably should have said this at the outset, The Angry Young Man is actually named after a song that I played at the beginning, The Angry Young Man by Billy Joel. get the Long Islander to reference Billy Joel on Pittsburgh radio, and then you've successfully seen someone vouching for their regional home hero. There's something to be said about the Angry Young Man as a character that Billy Joel constructed in that song, and why name a show after that song? The Angry Young Man, as Billy Joel kind of put it, as he was basing this off of somebody that he met, he's an advocate. It's imperfect. Not that you want to be the angry young man necessarily, because there's kind of an irrational rage against the system sort of aspect to it. But there's a passion to it. There's kind of an anger at the system that manifests itself in action, whether that action is effective or kind of a pharic attempt at getting what you're passionate about done. It's something to look at as a lesson for those, I think, who want to or have a desire to be a change, make action, and That's kind of the catalyst, the idea kind of driving this here. be the change you want to see in the world. Be that little nudge and push in the right direction, and get people in, get the input, get people to talk. So we do have a couple minutes left here. I've kind of ran through the big major little things of note, things to talk about. I know we do have a show coming up right again right after this. So given that we're kind of winding down here, going to give it the opportunity to kind of transition through. I do want to thank you all for joining this inaugural edition of The Angry Young Man. Look forward to seeing you all next week as we dive into more of the issues, hopefully into one of those debates going forward. And God bless you all. See you next week.
Before we get started, I'd like to remind you that the views, thoughts, and opinions expressed in this show are solely those of individuals involved and do not necessarily represent those of WRCT Pittsburgh and its members.
Depose from the faint. Do you think I'm hot? You're listening to WRCT Pittsburgh.
DJ Heim from Forest, and you're listening to 88.3 WRCT.
For those of you concerned with your health and the new USDA organic product standards, WRCT Pittsburgh would like to inform you that all our DJs are genetically modified to bring you best music.
WRCT, in sound, from way out.
Yo, what's up? How y'all doing out there in Techno Land? RCT Techno DJs in the house. Oh yeah, bringing you the only fat beats in Pittsburgh. Right here on WRCT Pittsburgh, 88.3 FM. Word to your mother.
My fellow Americans, I would just like to say now, as an expert on the subject, that WRCT Pittsburgh does not blow. Thank you.
Hey there, folks. Glad you could join me for all the best, the smoothest of the smooth, the cool and gentle sounds of what we call, jazz.
Tired of the fluffy stuff? At WRCT Pittsburgh, jazz is a one-syllable word.
Nuclear Holocaust. It's a very serious problem. One that faces all of us. Fortunately, here at WRCT Pittsburgh, we broadcast from a steel-reinforced concrete basement. So we'll be playing music long after your sorry corpse has evaporated in a blinding flash of light and heat. I hope this thought comforts you. WRCT Pittsburgh, 88.3 FM.
RCT Pittsburgh, meaty and full of flavor since 1949.
Would you like to take the sounds of your favorite radio station to places you never thought possible? Well, now you can, because WRCT is live on the internet. Just point your browser to www.wrct.org and click on our live MP3 broadcast. Now you can go out of town without any feelings of loss or regret for leaving.
This is G. Gordon Liddy. I urge you to tune in to WRCT Pittsburgh, 88.3 on your FM dial. If you don't, I'll break both your legs.
dirty love. You mean like anything in the world. When it's bring you like a beauty life. We are one. It is crazy, it's true. This is a song for you. Give me a smile closely at my lips. They say I needed you. Give me a sweetly kiss. Palm in the palm of your hand, it flew away. No one will find out they have promised. One minute waiting in the shower is on to.
Because I'm omnipresent, I listen to every radio station at the same time, including WRCT Pittsburgh.
Scientific advancement. Me say me can't take another world war. I can't take another world war. A world war one me never born. A world war one me never born. Electronic sources come from the sun. Electronic sources come from the sun. Yet still a man dem a believes a gonna. Yet still a man dem a believes a gonna. The whole world gone to atomic bomb. The whole world gone to atomic bomb. But in this time we don't have money. Say in this time we don't have money. But yet still we have to save energy. Yet still we have to save energy. But me can't take another world war, 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 war. Me can't take another world war, 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 war. Say world war one we never bow, war, 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 war. See world war one we never bow, war, 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 war. And now is the time they building weapon. And now is the time they building weapon. They even building the neutron bomb. They even building the neutron bomb. But now is the time they build the nuclear. And now is the time they build the nuclear. They build it up here and they build it down here. They build it up here and they build it down there. Oh, and now the Soviet Union and the Chinese man and the American. But me can't take another world war, 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 war. Me can't take another world war, 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 war. A world war one we never war, 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 war. A world war one we never war, 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 war. Electronic sources come from the sun. Electronic sources come from the sun. Yet still the man dem a be laser gunner. Yet still the man dem a be laser gunner. The old world gone to atomic bomb. The old world gone to atomic bomb. Now, and dem a talk about the neutron bomb. And dem a talk about the neutron bomb. But me can't take another world war. Me can't take another world war, 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 war. A world war one me never war, 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 war. A world war one me never war, 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 war. Say in this time we don't have money. In this time we don't have money. But yet still we have to save energy. Yet still we have to save energy. Me can't take another world war, 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 war. Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, notice the captain has turned on the no smoking sign. Please be seated and fasten your seatbelts. We're approaching home. This is flight number 77. Thanks for flying on Solomonic. Hope you enjoyed your flight home.
Ting-a-ling-a-ling, school bell ring and it's back to school again. And it's ABC, 1, 2, 3, tic-tac-toe and it's all in a row. Now it's a 1, 2, buckle my shoe, 3, 4, shut the door. 5, 6, pick up sticks, 7, 8, and then you lay them straight. 9, 10, back to school again. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, to stop.